It was his 1969 book called Fake, says Clifford Irving, that got his purported relationship with Howard Hughes underway. Fake is the story of the master art forger of our time, Elmire DeHorey, a man whose extraordinary career led him to five continents and a multi-million dollar gross in forgeries of paintings by Picasso, Modigliani, Matisse. When we interviewed Clifford Irving on 60 Minutes 3 weeks ago, he told us that he had sent a copy of Fake to Howard Hughes. Hughes wrote back, he said, to thank him. Their acquaintance flowered into a contract, said Irving, for him to do Hughes' biography. Well, it occurred to me that in view of Howard Hughes' protestations that said biography was a fake, perhaps Mr. Irving had used his book about Elmire DeHorey as a kind of pilot project for the Hughes book. And I put that to him 3 weeks ago. There are those who suggest, Mr. Irving...
Mike, there are those who will suggest anything. I'm sure I know what you're going to say.
That this book is a fake.
This book is a fake. It is not.
And that that first book that you wrote was a kind of blueprint for your own adventure.
They can, listen, people can say anything they want. I know it's real. McGraw-Hill knows it's real. Life knows it's real.
Of course, McGraw-Hill and Life aren't so sure anymore. Well, in looking into the background of Clifford Irving, we acquired a few days ago a film documentary on Elmire DeHorey, the master art forger about whom Irving wrote his book, Fake. The film was made on the Mediterranean island of Ibiza in 1969. Prominent in the cast of characters, Clifford Irving. In light of the events of the past month, we think it makes for fascinating viewing. Elmire would have much preferred to paint and sell his own works, but he simply couldn't make it. According to Clifford Irving, when Elmire offered his landscapes and nudes to the Paris galleries, they politely shrugged their shoulders and declined to buy. And so, little by little, Elmire DeHorey was corrupted. At first, he'd do a Picasso not as good as this one and sell it for maybe $100. As his forgeries became more elaborate, his prices rose accordingly. Over 20 years and across five continents, Elmire forged and sold about 1,000 works of art, millions upon millions of dollars worth of paintings. And when he wound up on the island of Ibiza in the Mediterranean off the coast of Spain, Clifford Irving met him and was dazzled by him.
I wanted to find out what it was really like to try and get an expertise on a fake. And I asked Elmire to do three drawings for me, two Matisse and a Modigliani, which he did before lunch, and put a little coffee stain on the edge of the Modigliani to make it look really as if Modigliani had done it in some Paris cafe. I then took the three drawings to the Museum of Modern Art and gave them some tall tale that I had inherited them from an aunt in France, and I had no idea how she'd gotten them. I didn't even know the aunt. And I'd heard so much about fake art lately that before I sold them, I wanted to find out if they were genuine. The museum examined them for 2 hours and came back with the verdict that they were absolutely genuine and, in fact, were horrified that I wanted to sell them.
Elmire DeHorey.
What happened to this drawing now?
Well, Mr. Irving pretends that he destroyed them. On his swaggy money boss. I don't think so. Mr. Irving's character is exactly a character who would destroy something, but he got an offer of 15,000 per day. I think it's a nice security in a bank vault, but could be unwrapped in 15 years again. But I'm not accusing him anything. I was mildly surprised after I asked him for 15 times where are the drawings, because our agreement was that he brings them back to me. That is it, where I destroyed them.
My personal feelings about Elmire are very mixed. I find him charming and lovable. He has developed a fiction about his life. If you were to put it to Elmire that he had taken advantage of the world, that he had cheated people, you'd be horrified. In Elmire's mind, truth and fiction have become totally intertwined.
I don't copy. I never copied one. About Matisse, of course, even a painting like this one, he made a whole series of the same. You know, he made 10 each one of a different version. Her mind is one version, but it's not a copy of any of her who exists. Matisse drawings line were never that sure as mine. He was hesitant when he made the drawing, you know. He added to it a little more and a little more. It wasn't as flowing, it wasn't as sure as mine. I had to hesitate. I had to hesitate to make it more Matisse-like. I don't feel bad for Modigliani. I feel good for me. Yes. I made some Picasso without any trouble, and I sold them. Matter of fact, as far as I know, one of the dealers went to Picasso for authentication and asked, is that by you? He said, how much you paid? He said, $100,000. Well, that must be. I'm sure it's by me if you paid that much for it.
He's not in jail today for basically two reasons. The first is that it would be extremely difficult to prove a case against him. The French police have explained to me that in order to jail him in France, they would have to have two witnesses who saw him doing the paintings, who saw him signing the paintings as Vlaminck's or Durand's or Picasso's.
Picasso would get for something like that of $15,000-$20,000. I would sell it for less.
And then they would have to prove that when he gave the paintings to his salesman, he knew that they were in fact going to sell them as genuine Matisse's and Modigliani's. The other reason he's not in jail is because a court case with Elmer on the stand would bring such publicity upon the art world that anyone who was involved in it, any art dealer who took the stand, would automatically become suspect and would lose, I would say, a good percentage of his clients. In the 12 years he spent in the States, which he spent there illegally, since he only had a three-month visa, he moved about constantly.
Who knows? What is it? What makes you travel? You want to change the landscape, you want to meet new people, you want to meet new faces, you think you meet somebody more attractive in the next town as you met there. You know, you never know why. Why people travel, do you know?
Because the FBI and the police in four different states were on his tail. And he had to be one jump ahead of them. He had to whip off to Mexico and then up to Canada and then back to New York. And then when he heard that the police were knocking on his door in Miami Beach, he had to scuttle out of town on a Greyhound bus to Texas. That's why he was on the move, and that's why he was never caught.
Elmer ran and ran. He lived on the run, used false names, avoided the police, until finally they ran him down here in Ibiza, and he was sentenced to a jail term. Not for forgery. He was jailed for consorting with known homosexuals and criminals. His jail term, a mere 2 months. Ibiza is where he lives today. It's an island full of expatriate artists, writers, hangers-on. The Ibiza Mafia, someone has called them. They live in the Mediterranean sun in their remodeled farmhouses, live by their wits. And to them, and especially to his friend and neighbor and biographer, Clifford Irving, Elmer de Hoorie has become a kind of fabled folk figure.
So tomorrow the party is a big party, so don't miss it tomorrow at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock.
Thank you very much,
Ibiza is not a place of snobbish society. That's not London, it's not Paris, it's not Omaha. It is Ibiza, and that's the charm of Ibiza, and that's what makes Ibiza why we like to live here.
Well, I invite you both for a big party tomorrow.
Oh, thank you.
At 8 o'clock, a big party.
That is Montessori. It is the place where people come by between 10 and 12. They read their paper, they read other people's letters, they tell who slept with whom that night and how it happened. And everybody minds everybody else's business very intensely.
Now I'm going to make a painting by Matisse. But you have to give me a little time, yeah?
I took him to one of the big dealers around Beverly Hills, and never happened that I didn't sell him. I always sold him. One thing,
I never offered a painting or a drawing to a museum who didn't buy it. They've never refused one. Never. Just a simple demonstration. I have an offer to make. Let's say we could find a Modigliani made by Kissling, a Modigliani by Elmire, and one Modigliani by Modigliani. And we put these three drawings in front of a group, let's say one is a director or curator of drawings of the Metropolitan, one is a soi-disant expert, and one is a great art dealer. It could be anyone, from Knödler till Perls, or any of the great ones, who consider themselves great and experts. And if any of them recognize which one is which, I am ready to make a great gift to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, and they can hang it next to some other Modiglianis who are possibly also by me.
Now that it's out in the open, that the world knows who Elmire is and what he's done, and now that Elmire accepts it and says with a certain amount of pride to the world, yes, it's me, I am the great art forger of the 20th century. Now I think he can recapture that personal vision and that personal honesty that he once had and can become a fine painter in his own right.
Voilà, Brigitte la Victoire. Bonsoir. Bonjour, ça va, cher ami. Entrez, prenez des drinks. Vous êtes très belle.
The occasion is a publication party at De Hoorie's home on Ibiza for Clifford Irving's new book, Fake.
Nice to see you.
Great.
Good evening.
Hello, David.
Ciao, ciao.
Nice to see you.
Go to the bar and get a drink.
Clifford Irving stopped on the way here to pick up a copy of the London Express.
Picked up a copy of the London Daily Express, and it was an article, Exposed, a man who holds the art world to ransom. Sitting in the sunny studio of a 60,000-pound villa on the Mediterranean island of Ibiza, it took Elmire Dory Boutin, the world's greatest art forger, just 1 hour to draw an original Modigliani. And then it goes on to tell the story of how I took
the
Modigliani to the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
That's a big article. Holds the art world to ransom. Hello, you saw the article in the Daily Express?
No.
Men's article.
Look at it. Look at it.
Expose the man who holds the art world on ransom.
Anybody want to eat?
Bonjour,
la boule.
Mallorca, Chopin, Ibiza, Elvira. Certainly, Elmire is profound embarrassment to them all. Elmire is a profound embarrassment to them all. Il est un embarrassement profond pour à tout le monde de l'art.
All the world loves to see the experts and the establishment made a fool of. And everyone likes to feel that those who set themselves up as experts are really just as gullible as anybody else. And so Elmire, as the great faker of the 20th century, becomes a modern folk hero for the rest of us.
A modern folk hero for the rest of us. Let's try an instant replay on part of that last statement by Clifford Irving.
All the world loves to see the experts and the establishment made a fool of. And everyone likes to feel that those who set themselves up as experts are really just as gullible as anybody else.